This may be a little unorthodox today. Well, we're never orthodox, are we? No problem. Got to get one more thing. I realized early on that, not that early on, in the process of preparing a message today, I realized that the medium is the message. Remember that, Marshall McLuhan? The medium is the message. And in preparing, I've been aware of the presence of God and in constant communication with God. And so when I told Louise that I didn't know what I was going to say, she said, "But you're so calm." But, you know, I put in a lot of time and thought and various levels of concentration, and so I think that it's good that we're at ease with silence. There may be silences, and so this is quite an interactive experience for us, for contemplating and remembering with thanks, as Charles always says to do, with thanks, how God guides us. And I bet it's not exactly the same for any two people here, because God knows us through and through. Is that Psalm 139 that talks about that? And God meets us where we are. And the creativity of God is boundless for working with us and through us. I heard yesterday a musician saying, "Music is the art of the invisible. Our emotions, our memories, our dreams." And music for me has been just so integral. It's what got me to stay. That very first day in this meeting in the early 70s was the music. And I never realized that's why, because our minds and bodies are just so filled with past, present, and future at every moment. I'd like to say what should have been said like 2 minutes ago. I believe my mind is filled, of course, and my emotions with the death and life and memorial for Ron Woodward, who was the pastor when I first came here. So the emotions and the memories and are still intermixed with everything that I'm going through today. And he would always preface, as I recall, he would always preface his messages with, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord." And as I've had opportunities rarely to speak, what comes to me is to say, "O Lord, please help each and every person here separate the wheat from the chaff." It's amazing what can come out of your mouth when you're not intending to, and later you go, is that what I mean? Is that what I meant? Did I believe that?" So that is my prayer, that you separate wheat from the chaff. And one thing I want to say is, can everyone hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. You can hear me? Can you hear me? Dorothy?
I can hear you. I can't understand you, but it's my fault.
I'm also sucking on a cough drop. Okay, is this better? Because that's a question that can't be answered truthfully, because if you can't hear, you don't say anything. So please be patient with silence, and of course use the silence, because this is very interactive today. I have loads of notes, because I could never remember what I came up with, and then I can't find my note either. So I have some scriptures, and I would love it if someone could read them out loud, not just me, that are written in here. One is Psalm 27, 1. Some of you may have a favorite Bible translation that isn't what we have in the pew. Okay, you got it, Dorothy? Let's hear it loud and clear.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Yep. And I'm going to sing a verse of that set to music. I wasn't planning on doing that, but it just has been going around in my whole head and body for a while. And it goes like this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? That one means a lot to me because I'm afraid a lot, just a lot. And as I prepared for this, the richness of preparing a message is such a blessing. So I, as a parenthesis, I hope you will not close yourself off from being willing to prepare and give a message sometime, because it's very enriching. And there's a scripture that I don't have it ready where it is that says, the Lord does not bring us a spirit of fear. And then it has a second part that I can't remember at the moment. It does not bring us a spirit of fear. The second scripture, Psalm 66, 8 through 12. Ron Woodward sent me a postcard when he was pastor here, and I have never forgotten it. And he said, Nikki, the Lord has laid this scripture on me for you. And I think I'll read this one, because it was for me. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For thou, O God, hast tested us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou didst lead us into the net. Thou didst lay affliction on our loins. Thou didst let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou hast brought us forth to a spacious place. And he underlined that, a spacious place. Wow. That has put me in good stead over the years. Or if we live life trying to avoid trouble and suffering, nope. But we can be assured that God will lead us to a spacious place. I put that one to music too. I'm not going to sing it because we came up with some good harmonies back in those days when I sang with Debbie and Pat, and we had a marvelous harmony to this song, but so I'm not going to sing that one. So when I was preparing the message, I thought, well, what am I preparing this for, in a way? And it's for who God would draw here today. So I've been praying for God to draw people here today. And what that word will be for who, I don't know. But I prayed through the directory, all the people there. I think when speaking, it's easy to just think, I'm talking in front of people. But each person, especially here, is a minister. So my prayer is that we do that with full confidence. Help us be ministers to one another. The third scripture was Psalm 27:14. Psalm 27:14.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Yes. Thought that was, it was laid on my heart, and I thought it was interesting that it was, because I was speaking about motion, about moving, of being, of following our guide, of receiving guidance, which means you're planning to go. I mean, you're going with God. And at first I wanted to entitle this sermon, Go With God, but move with God. And how do we do that? I mean, I don't mean, oh, I don't know how to do that. I'm saying, how does each one of us do that? Because that's what we do. We're going through this life with God. God is our guide. God is our good. We're following the good. Pat Cho, who I sang with, whom you remember, who did know Ron, she would always say on the phone, she'd always say, well, I prayed God for guidance. And I was always kind of thinking, oh, I usually pray for what I, you know, I want this or I want that. Like Charles is saying, don't do that. But she would pray for guidance. And so here's the interactive part. I'm going to describe how I have learned or become or have practiced receiving God's guidance and how I do that. But how do you relate with God in terms of being guided. Hoping people can give voice to that. It's good for all of us to know. There's a song that was so sentimental, or so it's so controversial in the old days. I don't know about now. It's called what is that song about? In the garden, I go to the garden alone, and God walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own, and the joy I have when I tarry there, none other has ever known. And that, oh boy, that was just sending off bells and whistles of alarm for people who thought, how can that person say they have, nobody else has known that joy? Well, I think it's true in a way. I think it's individual for each of us. Because the book of Revelation has that wonderful reward for one of the people of one of the churches saying, if you, blah, 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 I will give you a new name that no one knows except you and me. And I think the guidance of God is like that too, how we are guided. If I tell you how I'm guided, it's not meant to say, oh, I'm, you know, that's not what I know anything about. But God may guide you in a totally different way. And I don't know what Pat meant either. So even though I'm be talking about myself, it's just meant to be one of infinite numbers of loved ones that are guided by God in their way. So this last verse is talking about waiting. One of our favorite songs is, when you wait upon the Lord, He'll renew your strength. Yes, and so part of being guided is ironically to wait. So there's a song that goes with this verse 14. Be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for God is your guide. Be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. Be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for God is your guide. Be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. Now, maybe I've spoken long enough, and I'll save my stories about Ron. Should I quit now? Okay. No? All I did was get through the scripture verses so far. But I wasn't looking at the time, so I don't know. It's 11:35, and we go to... Okay, so if there's a few more minutes... I wanted to fixed in stone for what to say or do, and a lot of things have come to mind. I had three stories that will seem trivial with all that we worry about and all we hope to change. But I wanted to illustrate how my relationship with God has deepened and grown, and I'll just tell you what they are. You may think I'm crazy, but that's one thing I wanted to say. I'm probably not speaking to everybody, and so because everybody's got their own path and relationship with Christ. But I know I'm sort of embarrassed about this. But anyway, I listen for God, and I sense when doors are opened or closed. And to me, they're both blessings. They're both a blessing because God is the guide and leading me. And for instance, when I have my 1 month, I have one class that I teach once a month on the 10th Monday. You know, there's always a 10th, 13th through 19th of a Monday. On the 10th Monday, I lead a class at the Senior Center. It's a line dance class. And I'm always late. I've always got piles of papers. I'm not quite ready. But as soon as I get in the car, I let it go because God knows me through and through. And when I think of God as a redeemer, that's what I think about. He redeems my mistakes. He makes good come out of them somehow. And I try and I keep trying to be on time. And time after time, I have to say every time, I just get in the car and I don't rush. At that point, it's God all the way. And I will go to where there's never a parking space, and there's a parking space. And I know that's trivial, and I know it's, but I feel it's because He's doing that for my class. He's not doing it for me. He's doing it for those students in the class. He's redeemed my failure to be there on time, and He makes sure that they are going to be served. They're going to be there and be served, and it's really amazing. Now, with this same characteristic that I have, I was on my way to the memorial service for someone who used to worship here. His name was Paul Gassner. He was in our music group, and I'd see him at the Easter Albany Hill thing in years past, and he was very, very important in church communities all over Albany and at the Senior Center. And anyway, I thought, well, I want to go to his memorial. So I'm driving there, and I'm thinking, I've got time to stop for gas. I've needed gas for like a day, and I need to get that gas. I'll just go over to that gas station. It's just right there. And so immediately when I'm going to pull into the left turn lane to go in, all of a sudden there were like four cars coming from all directions going into that gas station. It's no longer, you know, isolated, and they just came in, and I thought, oh, that is obvious. I mean, there's no way I can get there now. I'm going to be behind all those cars. And so I maneuvered out, and I got to the church on Hopkins, Covenant Church, and it's by that the tennis courts and all that. And it was, I just felt it was a miracle that I was there, because memorials don't start on time. They start early. There's all of these slideshows and all of these people there, and you can't get to a memorial the time it starts. You have to be there beforehand, and I didn't realize it. And there was planned all of these things. And I thought, God is so good to just slam that door in my face. It was so, but I have lots of stories like that, and the thread is that I'm doing something for someone else. I mean, it was good to be there and have that for all of us, and it was really packed for him. And when doors close, therefore, because I feel like God is my guide, I take that as important and don't force it or fight it. When I wanted to go to Ron's service, I didn't know how to get there except to jump in the car and drive. I wanted to fly, but every 2 days the fare went up like $150. It started out as like $350 or something, and I thought that's too steep, and then it went all the way up to almost $900. And I called my cousin and said, "Can you put me up in Portland if I take a train?" And she goes, "No," which is, she's very hospitable. "Sorry, I cannot do it. My cat is dying, and I've just got litter boxes all over everywhere, and it's just a mess. I can't do it." And so I thought, well, what do I do? I was afraid of driving. I was afraid of falling asleep. Anyway, I talked to MNC, and I was just so miserable. I haven't been that miserable in a long time for that long a period of time. Because I think I was miserable even before I heard Ron died, but when I found out Ron died, I was just sobbing in the middle of a rehearsal. I found out in the middle of a rehearsal where everybody's singing Requiem and Lacrimosa, which is Latin for tears, and I was just sobbing. Again, I think that was God's timing for how... It was just amazing that I found out at that moment, because nobody looks at their phones, but they told me not to sing right then. Me and some other people weren't to sing, so I looked at my phone and there it was. So there I was, flooded with this gorgeous, beautiful sound, and being so stunned that he had died. And from that moment I cried, and then for every day, all day, for days. And I wanted to go, and I couldn't be mollified. I just wanted to go, and I tried not to want to go, or I tried to hop in the car and go. Anyway, it was just a miserable time, and I went to the MNC meeting, and we elders have a check-in. I wish every committee did this. It's so wonderful. They had a check-in, and I asked for prayers, and I didn't know what to pray for until I started to express it, and that was I was so down deep, miserable, and for a long time I'd been in church over there. I couldn't even speak. I wanted to sit next to the person in this meeting that's really miserable all the time, and I wanted to just be next to that person and be miserable together. And and I said, I guess what I'm praying for, because everybody has troubles, and troubles worse than mine, and so I guess I'm praying for a lightness of being. And so they prayed for me for a lightness of being. And I had to call, and so I called the Amtrak, and they told me how this marvelous agent on the phone just set it up. She says, "Okay, this is." I said, "I don't know what to do." Anyway, she said, "Just get to Emeryville by 10 o'clock. Get on the Amtrak. You have to be in business class because the coach is full." But it was so low compared to the train, the plane. And I called Enterprise for a rental car. I called a friend of mine who says, "What do you think I should do?" She says, "Well, get off earlier than Portland. You don't want to go all the way to Portland anyway. Just get off earlier." So I got off in Salem, and it turned out to be perfect. I mean, no traffic to drive all the way to Newburgh, where the memorial was. So everything was falling into place, and I got a big, wonderful night's sleep. And it reminds me of that story in the Bible where that prophet was so miserable. He was beset from behind and before, everywhere. He's just beset, and people out to kill him and everything. And God sends angels to just make him lie down and sleep, and brings food, just the basics of food and rest and being cared about can make a big difference. And I feel that God is with us every moment to be partnering with us in those ways. And my prayer was answered so thoroughly that I thought, oh, I guess I didn't need to pray at all. That's happened to me over and over, where miracle just slides right in, giving me the opposite of how I had, what was making me suffer. And I stayed with Martha White. She was our pastoral couple with Ed White. She let me stay right there, and watching, modeling her Christian life was just incredible, and all of those people. And it turned out that people had come from all over to go to his memorial. And so I guess those are my experiences that depict trusting God when doors close, and trusting God to open doors and to give us more than we ask or think.